Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I have a very interesting thing to share with you today. That is, I'd like to answer a question. What does Shabbat have to do with becoming spiritually mature? What does Shabbat have to do with it? And I'd like to look at our Torah portion to help us answer the question. But even before beginning, have you noticed how honest the Torah is about its leaders and about people? You know what I mean? You see, if you look at the other ancient materials from that period, from whether from Egypt or Assyria or wherever, they're always talking about how great the kings are and how great the kingdom is and how fabulous everything is, because the motive is to motivate people to be faithful to the agenda of the king. But in the Bible, we find its great heroes even being challenged for not being so great all the time. We think of David and the Bathsheba incident, right? And in our portion, we see how immature we were when we came out of Egypt. Very honest picture. It's a picture of tremendous immaturity. Listen to this. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the Israelites said to them, "Oh, if we had only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. We had cable TV. We could watch the Patriots. And now look at us, stuck with no cable. But you have brought us into the desert to starve the entire assembly of Israel." The problem is being a slave. You see, slavery stunts people's growth. It turns people who otherwise are free to have dreams and aspirations and have a motivation to become better human beings, it turns them into a narcissistic group of people whose only concern is survival, because you have this oppressive government that's just kind of crushing you. And that's the way it was. And after 400 years of slavery, we had become that narcissistic group. I mean, this is a terrible thing to say to Moses. He just got us out of Egypt. God did all these miracles, and everything is so terrific. And it seems like just shortly after that, they're complaining and miserable. And it's really a rather ugly picture. But again, the Torah is very, very honest. What we find in the text in Parashat Beshalach is that God seems to be saying, I want to grow my people up, because right now they're a bunch of complaining, narcissistic babies who can't see the larger picture of what I'm trying to do as I'm fulfilling my covenant promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I'm going to have to move here, and I'm going to have to do something to help them develop into full-orbed human beings so they can be happy and well, and so that they can glorify me. And to summarize what God did is he gave them quail to eat and manna. Manna, manhu, what is it? You know, they didn't know what it was. It was a very odd kind of flaky substance that came down to the ground from the sky. Quail we know a little about. We know that, in fact, whole flocks of quail from Central Europe to this day come through Israel on their way to Africa in their yearly migration. So this is something that was just part of the situation back in those days, again, as it is today. So the quail, we get that. Of course, they happen to all fall down right in the camp of Israel. There's a miraculous element there. But the manna, no one knows exactly what that was. Anyhow, so God provides this manna, and he says, gather every day. The measurement really means a couple of quarts. They're to gather a couple of quarts each day, but on the sixth day, getting ready for the Shabbat, they're only supposed to gather twice as much so that they'll have for the Shabbat. So it says, bake what you want and bake and boil what you want to boil and save whatever is left to keep until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded. It didn't get maggoty. It was just fine, even though it was overnight. It says, but eat what you've gathered today, because tomorrow is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Do you all get the picture here? Does everyone get it? Is happening? So 6 days, there's the manna, and on the Sabbath, there wouldn't be any. So he says to them, gather twice as much prior to Sabbath. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why the sixth day he gives you for bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one's supposed to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. I want to again return for a few minutes to God's apparent purpose in this. Again, we have a slave community. Now, we're not slaves, but all of us struggle with various things. We all want to grow. We want to change. We have aspirations and dreams. We want to become better human beings than we were 10 years ago. Is that true of you? I mean, it's true of all of us, right? We all want to grow. We all want to change. And we want to experience that sense, that profound sense of well-being, knowing that, you know, we're really making progress in life. Again, slaves have a tough time with this. And so, God gives the Sabbath. Now, what's interesting is that this is before Sinai, and he's already assuming that the people know what the Sabbath is. This must suggest that the Sabbath was even important before we got to Sinai, how much more once we got to Sinai. So, what is it about the Sabbath that is conducive to our becoming the kinds of human beings that we want to be? And I just want to outline some things that I think are relevant to this day, because as a community, most of us, most of you, although it's a little different from myself and the staff here, we see each other every day, but most of us really, except for home group perhaps, your involvement in the community is focus primarily on these several hours of Shabbat. Call it from 10 a.m. in the morning till 3 in the afternoon or something like that. Where does growth come from the Shabbat experience? Let me just outline a few things to you. Number one, Shabbat is a discipline that nowadays has to come from within. You see, if we lived in a shtetl in Eastern Europe in the 16th century, observing Shabbat wasn't a matter of personal choice. You did it because everyone did it. There was the implicit social pressure that came with being in a little tiny town, and everyone went to services, and everyone did, okay? Now, I don't think that's too idealized a picture. I think that's the way it was. But think about your life today. You had to make a decision to do what you knew was right, even though it meant schlepping, and then there's the possibility of snow later and all the rest. And discipline, a self-motivation to do the right thing that comes from within, built into the fabric of your week, every week, will have its effect on your maturity and on the question of what kind of person you want to become and I want to become. And here's another thing about Shabbat. Shabbat takes trust. Why trust, Rabbi Rich? What kind of trust? Well, you could be earning a buck on Shabbat. But instead of doing that, you're saying, no, this day is God's. This day is my chance to be with the community. I am not going to earn a buck on Shabbat. There's the temptation. I'm concerned about my own survival, etc. This I am not going to do. Shabbat takes trust, and trust is a critical component to growing up, to becoming mature. Obviously, trust of other people. But here, we're trusting an unseen God to meet our needs. And we are taking our hands off the steering wheel, if you will, and saying, God, I'm just trusting you. So that is, trust is a huge element in becoming a grown-up, if you will. There's also trust because you have to trust people who are proclaiming to be knowledgeable about big questions and big issues. And you're saying, you know, I'm going to trust their wisdom, their judgment, not totally, not all the time about everything, but by and large, I'm going to trust. Trust is an incredibly important component of getting out of the slave mentality. Because let me tell you something, slaves don't trust anybody. Slaves can't afford to trust people because all they know is exploitation. But God doesn't want us to be slaves. All right. Shabbat also demands obedience. Ooh, that's not a common word nowadays, but really it is a big deal. God says, I want you to obey me, but I don't understand why you did everything the way you did. I know you don't, but I'm God. You're just a person. You've only been here 50 years. Chill out. I want you to trust me, and I want you to obey me. Keeping Shabbat, it's a matter of obedience. It's something that you do because we're supposed to do it, because Israel was commanded to do it. A couple other things. And this is a huge one, because although the kids are downstairs, let me tell you right now, do not underestimate the power of Shabbat in shaping the lives of young people. You follow what I'm saying about that? It's really, really important. The world that they're growing up in is incredibly confusing, a lot of wonderful opportunities, but some real tough stuff. I believe that these little kids marching around in the Torah processional, seeing the scroll and how shiny its breastplate is, and hearing the sounds of Hebrew and the music, and learning how to sit through Hebrew class and not run around, and doing all the things that they're learning and growing in, little minds and little hearts are being shaped so that there could be a trajectory of becoming full-orbed human beings who know what it means to be a good person. A good Jew, or for a person who's not Jewish, a good believer in the God of Israel. Big deal. And one more particular thing, and that is Shabbat works. And what I mean by this is that I have seen, and you have undoubtedly too, the changes that we have experienced among each other as we've gotten to know each other over the years. I think of young people who came to us in their early 20s and now they're in their 30s, and wow, the growth that has occurred. I was in a meeting yesterday. I'll just tell you who it was. Why not? It was Shana and Rabbi Nathan, and Diane Cohen, our president, was on the phone, and I'm there. And we are talking about the three-year plan for the growth of the congregation and development and focusing on year one. And I stepped back for a minute and I said, I can't get over the wisdom, the sechel, the professional excellence, yet the kindness and goodwill expressed toward one another. It was magisterial in my view. And I said to myself, you know what? These younger people, they're really becoming something else. And I was quelling. You know the word quelling? It's like, yeah, it's quelling. I don't want to define it to be on that. You get it. Okay. I think that in the desert, the connection between the obvious expression of terrible immaturity and narcissism, which we have as our people, completely exclude from their thinking the goodness that they just experienced as God brought them out of Egypt, and that exclusion as a function of kind of a knee-jerk way of responding to reality. I want my needs met. I want them met now, and I want it my way. That God says, okay, I've got to help these people. And so the emphasis is on his provision, but also the quail and the manna, but also the Shabbat. So let me close this up by just talking a little bit. A lot of you know this. And, of course, the fact that you're here indicates that you largely get it. This is for the people who are not here. Number one, here's how to do it. Don't make business appointments on Shabbat. Just don't do it, okay? Enough said about that. Try not to spend money on Shabbat. See, the idea of Shabbat is the cessation of creative activity. 6 days we interact with the world and we create. The seventh is the day to enjoy and to experience God's blessing in the presence of one another so that we grow up and become better and happier people. So try not to spend money. Now, look, what are you going to do? You're on a toll. You have to pay a toll. We get that. There's ways around it. You can get this little electronic gizmo that will, you don't have to spend money, you know, directly. It's another story. But try not to spend money on Shabbat because that's not the purpose of this day. Third, and this is a subtle one, but it's important. Plan vacations. Let's say you take a two-week vacation. So leave on a Sunday and get back the following Friday. Try not to be away more than one Shabbat in a row. Sometimes it's necessary. We get that. Sometimes Sue and I have to be away. You do too. But try, if it's vacations, finagle the bagel a little bit so that you don't have to be away two in a row. And I want to encourage you, something that you all know, hang out with the gang after. Come to the study that we got. Talk and sit with people, because life change occurs in a communal context of worship where people in vulnerability stand before God together and praise Him and worship Him. And then life change occurs eating. Huge thing. Communal eating is a big deal, as is hanging around and just talking to other people who have more in common with you than most other people, in that we're a Jewish community that embraces Yeshua the Messiah. I mean, even if you're very different from people in terms of interests and perspectives and whatnot, political or whatever, there's a lot we have in common. Hang out. So let me just conclude by saying this, okay? Encouragement, and we all want to be encouraged, right? Encouragement comes from observing yourself and the people you love mature into the strong, capable, yet childlike people we were created to be. Wiser people, more knowledgeable people, people who are more in love with the great giver in life of life than we were 10 years ago. More in love with them, not less. Okay? More resilient people, people more committed to others, people who can let go and laugh a deep laugh despite life's perplexities and challenges. People who walk with God because of the magnificent work He did through Messiah Yeshua. Jews who want to be what God made us to be. And non-Jews, Jewish believers, who grow to delight to be who God made you to be. Now, are you gradually shedding the immaturities which rob you of hope and real happiness and the encouragement that you deserve? It's a question. If you are shedding those immaturities, and as part of God's strategy, it's not the whole thing, part of it, really taking Shabbat seriously, then be encouraged. And I will conclude with the words of Shaul, who he wrote to a community of believers in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the Besorah, the good news, from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Remember the Shabbat in the process, everybody. And I say to you all, Shabbat Shalom.
Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah